We turn once again to Colossians chapter 1, looking this morning especially at verses 28 and 29. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. As we come to God's Word, let's remain seated and look to Him in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we know that if we should regard iniquity in our hearts, if we should be disobedient in the very center of our beings, then Thou wouldst refuse to reveal Thyself to us. But we thank Thee for the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, that if we hear His voice and keep His word, then He shall unveil Himself before us. And so we pray this morning for a glimpse of the glory of Jesus Christ. Open the eyes of our hearts that we may behold His grace and His truth. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. At the beginning of yet another new year, it is, I think, good for us to ask ourselves once again, what are we here for? What is the reason for the existence of Stornoway Reformed Presbyterian Church of Scotland? The simple creedal answer is to say that we exist for the glory of God. But what does it mean for a church to exist for the glory of God? How can we be sure in this congregation that we are operating for the glory of God? Here in Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians at Colossae. These are people whom he has not met before, but the gospel has gone to them, and the gospel has regenerated them as new creatures in Jesus Christ. And now they are being troubled by false teachers and pagan conduct. And he writes this letter in order to encourage and to exhort them. But first he introduces himself to them. In verse 25 he speaks of himself as a minister according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you. He speaks of himself as one who was called and commissioned by God. And this is why he was commissioned at the end of verse 25 to fulfill the word of God. What is this word? He calls it in verse 26, the mystery that has been hidden from the ages and from the generations. this good news, this gospel is embodied in verse 27, he says, in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so he begins a description of his ministry in verse 28, and then in verse 29, he tells them how hard he is working in this ministry that God has called him to. At the end of verse 28, he gives to us the vision that God has given to him and the mission of his commission. This is why Paul was working, and this was the desire of his heart, to present, he says, every person perfect in Christ Jesus. To present every man and woman perfect in Christ Jesus. The word translated perfect there does not mean sinless, but it means mature, complete, and fully grown. And he says that my ministry, my calling, my commission, the purpose of my existence is to present every person perfect in Christ Jesus. And in the church, we have people in different stages of spiritual growth. There are people who are not yet born into the kingdom of heaven. There are others who have been born into the kingdom of heaven, but they are infants in Christ Jesus. They are still feeding on milk. They are not yet ready for solid food and for meat. But there are others who are growing and growing strong, feeding on the meat of the Word of God. But there are others who are ready to be presented before the throne in heaven. But I think taking Philippians chapter 3 and the language that Paul uses in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 29, the picture that emerges is that of an athlete who is engaged or preparing for a race. And so he says in verse 29, to this end I also labor, striving or agonizing, practicing and preparing myself in this great and holy competition. In other words, the picture that Paul presents before us is of the race of life and the fight of faith. And his desire is to see everyone that God has given to him not only starting the race, but continuing the race and ultimately finishing the race at the feet of Jesus Christ, so that at the end, when they are presented before that great white throne, Jesus Christ would crown them with the crown of life. To present every man complete, perfect, in Christ Jesus. And I hope you know that this is why God has sovereignly placed this church in this place. And it is for this reason that he has sovereignly brought you into this congregation and no other. And it is for this reason and this reason especially that he keeps you in this congregation. He seeks to use this church to enjoin you to start this race of life. And if you have started, to encourage you to keep on running this race, not to be discouraged, not to stop running, not to refuse running, not to turn back from the race, but to press forward and to keep on running until you finish the course, until you are presented before Jesus. That is why God has placed us together in this church. And this is the calling of every church. And this is the commission of every minister of the gospel. To present every man and woman, every boy and girl committed to them, perfect, completed, finishing the course in the presence of Jesus Christ. But how does the church do this? How did the Apostle Paul seek to accomplish this purpose? And notice, by the way, it was to present every man, not just the Jews, not only the Gentiles, but Jews as well as Gentiles, men as well as women, those who thought themselves clean as well as those who were unclean. He was to present all people of all ethnicity, of all gender, of all tongue, perfect before Jesus Christ. And it is for this reason that although we begin our witness in Stornoway, we do not finish our ministry in Stornoway. Yes, we begin in Stornoway, but our ministry is to the extremities of the world. From Stornoway to Scotland, from Scotland to the rest of the United Kingdom, and from the rest of the United Kingdom to the very boundaries of the earth. And it is for this reason that we have a ministry on the internet. It is for this reason that our newsletter goes all over this world. It is for this reason that we take up every invitation to visit other places and other people, so that whoever God graciously and sovereignly gives to us, that we would be able to present every person perfect, complete in Christ Jesus. And Paul says in verse 28 that the way that God had told him that every person could be presented perfect in Christ Jesus was through the ministry of preaching or proclamation. At the beginning of verse 28 he says, "Him we preach." It is not so much discussion, it is not dialogue, it is not even debate. There is a place and a time for all these other things. But the supreme calling of the Church of Jesus Christ is to proclaim the good news. It is to announce the gospel, for the gospel is good news concerning an event in the past that continues to have implications for the present and the future. And this good news, this event in the past, is the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. It is His substitutionary death. It is His resurrection for our justification. And this is good news for a sinful humanity. And because it is done, it is accomplished. There is nothing to discuss, nothing to debate. There is no place for dialogue. This is proclamation. But notice carefully, we do not preach a system of doctrine. We do not proclaim a principle of philosophy. We preach a person, the person of Jesus Christ. Him we proclaim. What we are concerned about is not orthodoxy for the sake of orthodoxy. We present Jesus Christ to every man and woman, boy and girl, so that we at the end will be able to present them perfect before Christ Jesus. But there are two sides to the proclamation. Verse 28, he continues and he says, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. The first part of the proclamation is the correction, the admonition, the rebuke, and the warning that comes from the Word of God. When God is truly in the midst of His people, when the Spirit of Jesus owns the preaching of His own Word, then that Word will rebuke us. It will hurt us. It will correct us. It will admonish us, and it will warn us. But he continues and he says that that word preached and proclaimed will also teach every man in all wisdom. It will break sin and vice. It will remove impurity from the hearts of God's people. And that's a painful process. But it will also build. It will nourish. It will nurture. It will strengthen. And it will keep them for time and for eternity. The purpose is to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The method is the proclamation of Jesus Christ. And yet there are two sides to the proclamation of Jesus Christ. It will warn, rebuke, admonish, and correct. But it will also teach, and it will build, and it will strengthen. And maybe you are here this morning and you look at yourself and you're completely confused. You don't even know why you are here. And you're not sure if this church is the right place for you. Maybe you haven't started the race. And maybe that's why you are here. You need to hear this invitation that life is a race to be run, that there is a prize at the end, and it is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But maybe you have started this race, but you have lost your way. And you have lost your place. You don't know where you're going. And perhaps you don't even know where you are today. and the purpose of this church, and the purpose of you being brought to this church, is to encourage you, to strengthen you, to keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ, to help you to run, to support you in this race, and to help and to stand with you until you are presented perfect in the presence of Jesus Christ. But however old you and I may be, whatever our spiritual experiences may be, the Apostle Paul reminds us that none of us has yet finished this race. The fact that we have started is no guarantee that we will finish. The fact that we have started well is no indication that we are likely to finish well either. And so, writing to the Philippian Christians, he says, I do not consider myself to have been perfected, but I press forward for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. And my friends, you and I need this church. If you and I are going to stay on this road and keep running this race, if you and I are to have any hope of finishing that race, then you and I need the support. You and I need the strength. And you and I need the solidarity and the help of the people of God. You and I need the church because it is the church that has been commissioned by Jesus Christ to proclaim Him. Always warning, but also always teaching. And so you see, the great need of the Christian individual is for the Word of God. It is the Word of God that warns us. It rebukes us and it corrects us. But it is also the Word of God that is able to feed and to strengthen us. Is all this quite easy? Not at all. In verse 29 he says, to this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works mightily in me. The word that he uses there in verse 29 is not just heavy work, it isn't just labor. He says it is agonizing, it is painful, it makes me weep, it fills my eyes with tears. This is hard work, and yet this is the work that has been committed to me. Make no mistake. The work of the church is exceedingly difficult for your sake. This is no easy work. It wasn't easy for the Apostle Paul. It wasn't easy for the Christians at Colossae. For outside the church there were false teachers, these dogs, these malicious dogs who were determined to destroy the Christians and the church of Jesus Christ there. And there are still dogs in the church today. Those who are the mutilators, those who seek the destruction of the people of God. They come into the church and they present themselves as super spiritual, super human beings. There are false teachers, but there is also the sin within us. The sin within us that discourages us, and the sin within us that distracts us. And so he says, I agonize and I submit myself to the Spirit of Jesus Christ working powerfully within me. And how easy it is for us today to be distracted also. Some churches are distracted because they are in the pursuit of a big and a bigger congregation. Some are in pursuit of beautiful, magnificent buildings. Some are distracted because they want fatter bank balances. Some want to be known as churches with a zeal for mission. Others want to be known for their passion for prayer. Paul had only one ambition. It was to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And may I suggest to you, my friends, it doesn't really matter how big or small this church is. All that it will matter on the day when I stand before that great white throne is whether I'll be able to present everyone in this pew today perfect in Christ Jesus. You see, we have lost our way. We don't know who we are, and we no longer know what we are here for. But if our true desire is to present every person perfect, then we will preach Jesus Christ, and that word will simultaneously warn as it will build. And my friends, you know, if this is a true church of Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ is truly walking in our midst, Sunday by Sunday, and we are one of the seven golden lampstands, if He is being proclaimed, this word will teach us, but make no mistake, it will rebuke us also. And that means this: when this church begins to pray and her God answers her prayers, sometimes you will find yourself on beds of affliction. And if you don't find yourself on a bed of affliction, you under God will surely find yourself nursing your loved one on a bed of affliction. And if this is a church of God, if Jesus Christ is her cornerstone, if He, the glorious one, is walking and working in her midst, then I say to you in the name of the living God, occasionally the prayers of this church and the tears of her office bearers will take you to the very brink of your deathbed also. I'm not trying to frighten you. All I'm telling you is the truth, that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church, he tells them that each week when they come to the worship of God's house and they participate in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and they do it without the fear of God in their hearts, when they refuse to listen to the ministers of God, then God Himself will speak to them in order to warn them, to rebuke them, and He will send sickness and death to them. The business that this church is engaged in is serious because it is eternal. We will not rest until we present every individual here perfect in Christ Jesus. And for that reason, we proclaim Him and Him alone crucified. Yes, it has teaching. But do not forget, it has warning also. May God bless His word to our hearts. We conclude by singing from Psalm 16. Psalm 16. And we are singing here verses 6 to 9. Psalm 16 at verse 6. Unto me happily the lines in pleasant places fell, yea, the inheritance I got in beauty doth excel. I bless the Lord because He does by counsel me conduct, and in the seasons of the night my reins do me instruct. Before me still the Lord I said, sitteth to so that He doth ever stand at my right hand, I shall not move it be. Because of this my heart is glad, and joy shall be expressed, even by my glory and my flesh, in confidence shall rest. Psalm 16, verses 6 to 9, and we stand to sing to God's praise.
Unto me happily
before Thee as individuals and as a congregation this day. And we pray that Thou would not cause us to rest until we present every person perfect in Christ Jesus. And to that end, help us to labor and to keep on striving according to thy working in us mightily. O help us, we pray, and forgive us all our rebellion, our ignorance, and our sinfulness. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you perfect before his glorious presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and everlastingly. Amen.